Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily, mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I trust Him. The more I have faith in Him and obey His word, the more I trust Him from my heart. He is good. And His kindness and His blessings and His mercy, His grace abounds to us forever. Every day He gives us new mercies, and I learned that from Him, to love people every day. Whatever they did yesterday is yesterday. If it's bad, I forget about it. If it's good, I thank God for it. But I love them currently. Love is current, just like faith. From the time that I got saved, you know, from the time we get saved, our faith is supposed to be on. It's on. I never doubted that I was not God's child after I was washed in the holy blood of Jesus Christ. And at the worst of times, I knew that I was saved. When everything went wrong, I knew that I was saved. My faith is on. But you have to feed your heart the word of God in order to for your faith to grow. And the just shall live by his faith. And because we take him at his word, we learn. God develops. He has rapport with us. Now, it's kind of weird to say that God gains rapport with people. After all that he did, we know that he's God. We know that he's good. We know that he loves us. We know, as Christians, we know that he died for us. And we know he can do all things, because everything he do is totally amazing. It's amazing to us. A man can study a tree from now on and learn something all the time. A man, you know, doctors, they study the human body and they're always learning about it. It's fascinating. For centuries, you know, the medical society, they learn and they learn and they learn, studying what God made millennials ago. So we have to, as we study his word, he gains rapport with us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We hear what the words that he said. Then we have faith to trust him with. We have faith to believe him with. And when we act on our faith, God keeps his word, and we begin to trust him. Now, faith and trust is a little different. On these broadcasts, I talk about it from time to time. Faith is active. It's a verb. It's a definer. Whenever we have a problem or a situation, we can change it by our faith. We can change the facts in our body. If we're sick, that's a fact. But we can believe on Jesus Christ that by his stripes we're healed. That's a greater fact. And we can command our bodies to line up with God's word. And we're redefined as healed. An unsaved man can believe on the blood of Jesus, that he died in our place and washed our sins away. Now, by his faith, he's redefined as a new creature. Faith is a definer. It brings the will of God to us, brings the will of God home with us. We can change the facts in society by living the word of God by faith, by taking God at his word by faith. But trust is a noun. It's not a verb. It doesn't do anything. You know, trust is faith. Faith is trust before you see. Faith is trust after you've seen. You're believing God from the past position. You're taking him at his word. But when you act on trust, that's faith. Because faith is active. Now, yesterday's broadcast, we talked about being victorious, taking God at his word, seeing things through. When things are not, you believe God for what you need, for a concept. I believe God for a concept. I was in survival mode, trying not to fall. But I wanted to thrive and didn't know how. The knowledge of thriving was not in me. All I knew was to ask the Lord for it and believe that He would give it to me. And He did. So I had faith in a concept. Remember, the Lord, He will bless us greater than we can ask, think, or imagine. So that gives you the right, the living right, the living promise that you can believe God for something that you imagine that doesn't even exist in your world. You know, other broadcasts I talked about the worlds. Our world is the people that we're around, our audience, the people that we see every day. That's our world. And sometimes the societies of people, the groups that they hang with, some groups don't believe in God and they never seen a miracle. They don't expect to. Then some people, they see miracles all the time. And sometimes worlds collide, like at a football game. Everybody goes to see their children play football or go to the college football game, or they watch it, or if they end up football or baseball, they go to a game event. Well, there are different worlds in that one stadium because there's different people that hang with different groups. And when the worlds merge, sometimes people are introduced to people that have had a healing. Now, they didn't believe in God. They didn't believe that He heals. But now there's a child that was obviously sick, and now they're obviously not. And they say, what happened? Well, Jesus healed them. Their worlds collided. And they say, oh, we didn't know that Jesus heals. We didn't even know Jesus is. But He is. And then they're challenged. Will they get saved? Will they doubt? Will they go away sorrowful, like the rich young ruler that didn't want to obey God? So sometimes the concepts that we imagine can happen. It may not have been introduced in our world, in the people that we deal with, but God is greater. And then there are others that may be doing the same thing. There may be others out there that they sought the Lord for something they never seen before and got it. And when I talk about what happened to me, they identify with it because of the similar things happened to them. And they're on another planet, so to speak. And that's one planet, but it's just like people from other places coming together. In their circle, in their society, certain things happen. Well, in my society, nobody was thriving like I wanted to thrive. Or I didn't hear teaching about it. And it looked like nobody knew how to do it. And I come from a community. You know, I had vision for what I wanted because I grew up in a good neighborhood where Christian people bought nice houses, and they were more established people. They were hardworking people, and they worked together. And I had a visual of what would happen when people have a nice family. You know, I saw older people. Some of their children were grown and gone, and they were more established. And the men of the community, they loved their wives, and their wives loved them, and they had good relationships. And most of them did right. You know, there were one or two divorces, but that was very unusual. You know, one man got in trouble. One man left his wife, you know, but that was far and few between where I come from. And I used to ride a mini bike, see. My dad bought me a go-kart 1 year and a mini bike another year, and I used to ride those, you know, all around the neighborhood, not just our street, but, you know, four or five streets over. And I would see, you know, established relationships. You know, when people are like 40-something, they've been through the hard parts. They have a more established job. To buy a house like that, they had to have a, you know, good savings account and things like that. They had to be on that job a while. And they were factory workers and preachers and teachers, mostly blue-collar workers. And they worked hard for what they had. And they took care of what they had. They washed their cars. They cut their grass. And I wanted that life. I had a visual of what I wanted. But when I was challenged with the world, which I didn't expect to be, I had to do some soul searching. I had to make sure that I would survive this thing. And it was survival. Now this is, you know, these things are, temptations is embarrassing. Anything that makes you look weak is embarrassing. People don't like to talk about it. So Satan thinks he got us trapped because he gave us an evil situation and then we try to hide it. And I know that people attempt it and they try to hide their wrong and act like they're not doing what they're doing. But the problem is, you can't hide what's in your heart. Whatever's in your heart's coming out. And I know that adults don't always say things around children. But nevertheless, I had a visual from the men and women of my neighborhood. And I'm sure that they had the same challenges. But they handled it. And people don't talk about how they win or lose. They ask God for help and most people survive. Well, my situation was different. The enemy was after me, trying to destroy me. Before I got started, he suspected that I was going to be a threat, and I am the threat that he feared. And because he came out to me like that, I dug deep and I learned things that I know he regrets. Because I was able to minister God's word, and I knew I always took teaching and ministry very seriously, because I knew that people, without God, they didn't have a snowball's chance in hell. They would be destroyed. And I knew that the enemy went after me, and I know he goes after people that are serious about preaching God's word. Now, institutional preachers, they comply and they go along to get along. They're compromisers. Organized religion is about as bad as the Sanhedrin Council in a backsliding, slidden condition. They went to theological school, but they don't preach Jesus. They preach life. They preach things that people want to hear, things people that everybody can agree with. But when you follow God, you got to preach God's word, whatever the Holy Spirit prompts you, because he's trying to keep his people out of trouble. And since I didn't know how to do things the organized way, which I thought how bad it was until I started studying the word for myself, and then I could see the difference. And preachers would try to coax people into the kingdom of God, and you can't do that. You got to preach the word to give them faith, and then if they want it, they'll get it or they'll reject it. The word of God causes revival or a riot, either one. God wants us to be hot or cold. If you want to be cold, you can go be cold. He'd rather for you to do that than be lukewarm and confuse people. So when I minister God's word, I say, I'm going to see how God helped me to do things. And I learned from him, and some things I just didn't do. I made a lot of good changes as I grew from glory to glory, following God, not trying to get God to follow me. And my format. My format is not supreme. God is. And people want God to bless them in their format and never consider what he wants to do. Well, I did. And the enemy went after me because of it. So the things that happened to me were excessive. And my job, the way I worked, I had to work at people's houses. I was always around people. Most of my customers were women. And when people are at their house, they try stuff that they normally wouldn't try. It's bad enough in a work situation, but when they got you in their corner, they try stuff. And I learned things about people. I saw how much place the enemy had in the average person's life. And it bothered me. I said, man, people got to get a hold of what Jesus is doing and stop this, or we won't survive. It's going to be bad, or it could be very good. If not, it's going to be very bad. And then I look at the church world, the things that's being preached, it is bad. Because few people will preach what God give them. Now some will, and I thank God for them. Jesus said, many that are first will be last. But not all. Some people that are first will remain in that position. Remember the first and second chapters of Revelation, or the second and third chapters, he warned them that if they didn't repent, he'd move that candlestick out of its place. And he'd take them from being first to last, or out. Then he said, many that are last will be first. And the most dedicated people, society pushes them in the back. They don't want to hear a real, you know, Paul said that the day will come that people wouldn't endure sound doctrine. And sound doctrine is the only thing that's going to get you out of this mess we're in. Not only salvation, but also how to thrive in life. Now, thriving in life became something very important. And the Lord showed me how to do that. But there's something else that happened. And I want people to understand, sin is addictive. If you allow it in your heart, it will try to take over you. It'll try to turn you into its slave. In the stages when I was surviving, before I was thriving, but in the stages of survival, I did the word that I knew. And one day I had a thought, and I didn't deal with it in time. I kind of forgot about it. It was a temptation, and I forgot about it. I didn't act on it, but I forgot about it. And you can't do that. I learned firsthand that's the wrong way to handle a temptation. So I was tempted. And I learned something. I learned a tactic from the enemy. He gave me a temptation, and then I knew it, but I didn't do anything about it, and it grew. Then he hid it and let it fester. And all at once, he set me up and tried to surprise me with it. And I took the way of escape. I was so weak, I had to take the way of escape. And another time, usually when I felt tempted, I would go home and pray, or go to church and pray until it was gone. I would pray it. I would pray and worship God till I had the victory and I knew it, and I'd get up laughing. But that I knew that I felt free, and I was free at that time. I conquered a battle, but I knew the enemy was coming back with something else. And so I would study the word and prepare for it. Well, one of the times that, I had to catch on. Sometimes you have to catch on when things keep going wrong. You catch on to what's happening. He gave me a temptation. I didn't deal with it in time, and it grew. Then I realized, and I rebuked it, and I still felt tempted. I quoted the word and rebuked it again, and I still felt tempted. I continually did that and still felt tempted. And it's like it wouldn't leave, but I kept rebuking. I still felt tempted. And I threw myself on the altar, so to speak. I cried before. I said, Lord, help me. You know, that's how I threw myself on the altar. I just surrendered my life to him, and it lifted. When I didn't know what to do, I surrendered to the Lord. I asked the Lord to help me, and I didn't feel tempted. But from there, I learned something. I said, Satan did this a long time ago. Weeks ago, he gave me a thought, and I didn't deal with it. And then it grew. And, you know, when something like that happens, you're learning warfare. And people say, well, God allowed that. No, God allowed what you allow. He gave me a message about that. Stop saying God is behind the mischief. He allows what you allow. And it didn't stop until I stopped it. And I stopped it by surrendering to the Lord. I didn't know what else to do. I rebuked it in Jesus' name. And normally I had great success doing that. But this time I didn't feel it. I didn't feel it lift. So I surrender to the Lord. When you don't know what else to do, surrender to the Lord. Now it takes faith. It takes faith in His name. Just like when you use the name of Jesus, it takes faith. But I don't know, you know, why it was so hard to get rid of the way I knew. But it was a more persuasive situation that grew out of hand. Now I never acted on the temptation. I kept resisting it, but it was hard to get rid of that time. So this time I threw myself on the altar, and the Lord helped me. And I learned tactics. I learned how to deal with things. Now, I'm saying all these things because I would hate to take something that wonderful to the grave or to heaven with me and never share it with my brothers that's going through the same misery. That's why I do these broadcasts. I'm not trying to get glory, approval, or make people think well of me. If you really want to minister to people, you have to share what God has shared with you. And that's what I'm about. I believe in doing that. I want people to know how to win. Now, the Holy Spirit is there. He can teach you more than I can. And what He teaches you will be perfect for you to easily relate to. But my examples can help to let you know that God will take you further than you can see. And if you pay attention, you'll learn tactics and you'll learn warfare and you'll get better and better at it. It's easy. It's easier to do it God's way than to suffer with the misery of this world system. The world system is evil, but God is good. And by our faith, we do win, which we learn to trust God. I learned to trust God in adverse situations. That was a very adverse situation. And now I have confidence. It doesn't matter if I don't know what to do. I say, Lord, I got a better relationship. I trust the Lord better than I did at that time. I learned to thrive in life instead of just survive. So if I'm ever in a situation where I'm surviving, I'm in a new situation I'm not used to, I have confidence that I'm going to overcome this thing. Or I'm going to win. I'm going to learn whatever it is I'm trying to learn. And I take great joy in that, in the fact that I'm going to learn how to kill my problems. You know, Samson, when the Philistines attacked, he just shake himself. He knew that God is there because he trusted him. Until he cut his hair, he shook himself and nothing happened. Well, if you stay in the kingdom of God, if you comply with His word, when you shake yourself, He'll be right there to give you the power you need. In other words, when you call His name, He's there. Nothing's going to happen to God. But good things happen to us as we take Him at His word. The Lord is that, you know, He will help us to understand the tactics of the enemy and how to kill and destroy the works of darkness and thrive in life. Now, I'm out of time again, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus is our Lord.